Ken, I don't mean to be overdrawn here, but I am really worried that this next election is really for all the marbles about the future of this nation and this nation itself, period.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. That this isn't just a lot of folks out there venting their spleen, so to speak. The gathering I was at in Traverse City, and probably some of the ones we're going to be seeing today, really come down to, I mean, a lot of these places are collecting these health care freedom amendment petitions. They're getting signatures on there. And the speech I gave actually wasn't so much, I was kind of telling people, hey, you know, if you're really focused on what's going to happen in November, then you're probably missing the ball a little bit because, you know, we had a, you know, the guys that are probably going to benefit from a big change of direction in November will be the Republican Party that, by and large, caused a lot of the problems in the previous Congress. I mean, and I gave some examples of that. So the real focus that these folks should be pushing at isn't necessarily November, but the day after and the day after that and the day after that. These Yep. gatherings have gotten very good at holding at least Democratic politicians accountable, but if they're going to make the changes that you suggested, they got to be ready to keep that fight up all the way after that. And you know, this job's never done, but the energy that's out there can get it done.
See, that's an example I've given on this radio program a long time. I'm going to go right back and say the same thing again because it's too important. Ken, if you and I go down to Petoskey together and we gather up our pennies and we find a way to get some investment money, and you and I go buy the 7-Eleven in Petoskey, let's go buy it today. And we hang on to it for 2 years' time, but we hire a manager to operate it, and then they tell them, okay, you hire employees and keep up with everything, and we don't walk back in there for 2 years, and mm-hmm. we don't look at the P&Ls for 2 years,
Very
and
good.
We don't see what's happening with the place for two whole years, and then all of a sudden, 2 years later, we take a look, and for the first time in 2 years, we walk in there, and the tile's coming off the floor, none of the store shelves are stocked. The worker is 15 years old. He's got his feet kicked up reading a magazine instead of worrying about the customers. And the customers are walking out stealing stuff, and the alarm goes off, and nobody even catches it anymore because nobody's paying attention. Whose fault is that really? Is it really the people who blew the deal as far as being down there? Partially. But guess what? It's a lot of our fault because we owned the place and didn't do anything about it.
Precisely. It becomes the way of doing business. It's interesting. You're kind of ripping an analogy a little bit from the speech that I gave in Traverse City.
Oh, well, I can't say I ripped it. I didn't get to hear it.
No. I didn't mean to say that. And it wasn't about a 7-Eleven. I used McDonald's.
You stop busting my chops,
you know,
buddy.
You got to remember who politicians are. They're not your masters. They're your servants. And they're a little bit like that kid that delivers French fries for you at McDonald's, except the politicians aren't quite that reliable. So
that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it like that. Ken, when you look at this stuff, I mean, that's really what we've done in the past as a society. I know there's many. See, the thing about that, I have to be careful because a listening audience of talk radio votes 70 to 80% in every election. That number pops off between those. When they do a midterm or a presidential election poll, it's always 70 to 80% are voters.
Well, it's
active in this.
Yeah.
And so I'm careful not to say that you as a listener, as you're listening to Ken and I, are doing this. But means there's probably a few that are, and I guarantee a lot of your neighbors are acting like this.
Well, you know, it isn't even a matter of voting either, though. I mean, you can be a great active voter, but if you're making certain assumptions, you know, political parties are not noble institutions. They're power-grabbing entities. So you really need to look under the hood of who you're voting for. And the example I gave, and I'm going to give again today,
sure.
was the, you know, we had, you know, set aside the TARP bailout and the stimulus package and all the things that have got people upset right now.
Yep.
Look back to what that Republican Congress, what Republicans in Congress were doing before the current president came into office. We had, you know, for one example I put out, a $300 billion farm bill that went through at the end of President Bush's term. That sucker had all kinds of ethanol subsidies in it, price supports for every crop you can imagine. He was using your money to drive up the cost of everything you buy. The Wall Street Journal called it a scam. The New York Times called it disgraceful. We had nine Republican congressmen from Michigan at the time. Seven of them voted for this thing.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
So, I mean, most of the people in Michigan who think, you know, who sit in one of these Republican districts and think, well, we're not part of the problem. In fact, folks, if you don't know this stuff, and this is stuff you don't like, and yet your guy's voting for it, and you don't know that, and you don't hold him accountable, you don't call him up and say, this is not what I wanted you to do, and the next time something like this comes up, please think better of it, you're just like the 7-Eleven owner who doesn't show up.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you hired them, and then you leave them alone, and you come back in 2 years and go, oh, my gosh, who wrecked my store? Well, it can't be the guy I hired. That's the attitude. And, you know, 80% turnouts are great, but not if you're not, you know, watching who you're hiring.